What today is all about, remember last Sunday we started to look at the reality of living in the light, and it was just more of an introduction. And today I want to continue with that because it is so important for you and I to be established in our identity as children of God living in the light, and us understanding what it is to be light in the Lord, because it opens up the reality of the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. It opens up so much and the way we live our lives. And I believe this is very important now for us to be able to truly be single-minded in who we really are, and to be able to live from that place of who we are in Christ Jesus. And that is why there's a lot of emphasis now by the Holy Spirit just to help us to be established in this. It makes life so much easier when we realize our dwelling place and where we live from and so forth. And it's just really is extremely helpful. Otherwise, we get so caught up in trying to survive in this world, and God loves us too much to leave us stuck in the turmoil of our minds of living in this world, and there's no hope, etc., and being overwhelmed by so much. Yet we are in the kingdom of God, and how to live in the kingdom, and that's what we're looking at, and that's why you'll see this is an introduction that you'll enable us to begin to understand the authority in the kingdom and how to use the weapons of God, how to live in the reality of the armor of God, how to advance the kingdom of God and to be focused in these areas. So that's what this next probably next few weeks will be about, is just getting something established within us. And so I want to share a scripture over here this morning. And sorry, let me just get over there. Yeah, that one's working anyway. So I wanted to share a scripture over here in Isaiah 61, because this is a scripture that I want to release this morning, and that's what's taking place. Last Sunday we started to speak about us in the light, and the Holy Spirit is making us conscious. And this scripture in Isaiah chapter 61 is a decree that I want to release right in the beginning this morning, because that's what's happening. We are being awakened to the fact that we are in the light, and what it is to be in Christ Jesus, light in the Lord. And so let's pray this Isaiah 61 in verse 1-3. Now, pray this in the name of Jesus. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. So, Father, this we begin this morning by just releasing this word of yours, this powerful word of yours, to awaken, and by your Holy Spirit, that there will be within the body of Christ, first of all, an awakening of what it is to be out of darkness and into light, and how to live from the place of being in light. We thank you by your Spirit, by the power of your truth, for that activity taking place. We thank you for the angels that have been released to help facilitate, to minister to those who are being saved. And then to the unsaved, Father, that the eyes of their hearts will be opened, that sons and daughters coming, Lord, the incredible harvest out there, we thank you by your Holy Spirit now that there will be an awakening, Lord Jesus, as you give them the authority to become children of God. And we receive them, Father. We thank you for the laborers, for the workers, the co-workers with you, Lord Jesus, all of us to be able to be involved in the harvest and to be able to be involved in ministering life by the Holy Spirit to so many people. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh. Yeah, so this morning as we look at this, first of all, in Isaiah 60, a lot of times we think, well, this is just for the people of Israel, and so we leave it there. But prophecy is what we will often call bifocal, where there is a now fulfillment, and we see how Israel were in exile and how they came back to their land. But this, there's also the bifocal, it's the future, which is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And this Isaiah has that reality. All prophecy has that reality in the Old Testament, a now reality for the lives of Israel, but also the fulfillment, because it's a shadow. Christ is the fulfillment, and it's a fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And so, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 5, we see the answer to that prophecy over here. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, as a fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. And this is why it is said, and this is the reality, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And carries on over there. And so we see here that Isaiah was speaking about the coming of Jesus Christ. Because we see there in John chapter 1 that Christ is the light of the world and the light to all mankind. In Matthew chapter 4, we see the same reality over there where in Matthew chapter 4, we see, let me just get that quickly over there, where we have this concerning going through the prophet Isaiah. So I just want you to see, because if we're stuck on historical interpretation, we miss out on the fulfillment in Christ Jesus. And I want you just to see over here where the reality of Christ coming into, and he speaks about the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And from this time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come. And so Jesus is speaking about the kingdom. He is the light, and he's wanting folk now to be able to enter into the kingdom of light. And so he starts to preach about the kingdom of God, and he continues that ministry over there. So this is what we start to see in the reality of the fulfillment in Christ. Now, how does this impact you and I? Well, I want to go to John chapter 1 first of all, and here we see it's a scripture that we have been reading a few times over here. But in John chapter 1, we notice over there that our Lord Jesus is the, John is writing, and he says over here, there we go. Through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And we have dealt with that. You'll see why this is so important as we continue now. And he carries on over there. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him yet. Now, this verse is a verse that the Holy Spirit, and I really encourage you to go and meditate on this verse, because this verse is it'll unlock for you and I to understand the authority that Christ has given to us, what the authority of God's authority is all about, that Jesus gives to you and I. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right. And that word right is the word authority, the power to act. He gave the right. This is Jesus. Remember what Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. It is our Lord Jesus who has given you and I the authority to become children of God. And it's from this authority, Christ is the source of this authority. It's from this authority that you and I are now able to live as children of God. And it's rooted in the authority that Jesus has given to you and I. And this you'll see now as we go on over the weeks, how the Holy Spirit will open this truth up, and you and I to be established in this truth that Jesus is speaking about here in verse 12. It says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. And here Jesus, or John is busy writing concerning the life of Jesus. He's speaking and he's saying, but Jesus is the one who has given us the authority to be children of God. Remember in the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17, let me just go to chapter 17 over there. In John chapter 17, when Jesus is praying, and he says over there, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. So here we see the Father has given Christ Jesus, his Son, the authority to give eternal life. And back to chapter 1 again in verse 12, because that's what this is all about over here. Here we have, I'll have to go bigger just to get into here again. So here we go back to verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right. None of us here who believe in Jesus Christ came because we simply decided to come. It was our Lord Jesus Christ himself who introduced you and I to the Father, and it is our Lord Jesus Christ himself who has given us the authority to be children of God. So in becoming children of God, you see, and that's why he refers now, not born of natural descent, but born of God, not by human will, not by a husband's will, but by God, born of God. And that's crucial, because all of a sudden we see here that all of us, before we got born again, we were born as natural. We were born in the Adamic reality. That was our life. But Christ came, and now Christ has given the authority, and he has enabled us now to become children of God. So no longer are we children of the natural Adamic realm kind of thing over there. We are born of God, born again by the Holy Spirit, John chapter 3. And this is crucial, because he's now starting to teach us our true identity. Because if we're still thinking we're just normal human beings kind of thing, and don't understand that Christ has given us authority to live as children of God, to be children of God, to grow and to live in the fullness of what it is to be children of God, to operate as children of God in the kingdom of God. because we are no longer in the kingdom of this world, but we're in the kingdom of God. And there comes this authority that our Lord Jesus has come. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. That's why everything, the gospel, the good news of God is concerning his son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name because of the authority that he has from the Father. He has given you and I the authority to become children of God. And we live now. We live in that reality of this authority that our Lord Jesus Christ has given to you and I to become children of God. That's huge as the Holy Spirit opens up, and that's going to become more and more real to you and I. Now, here we notice here over here in John chapter 14, and I might just, let me just see if I can get in there. Yeah, John chapter 14. And here in verse 6, as I shared the scripture earlier on, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We're looking at faith. Remember faith. Faith is being fully persuaded. And our Father is imparting faith because he wants you and I to be fully persuaded that we are children of God, born of him, his will. Christ has given you and I the authority to be children of God, and that now he wants us to be fully persuaded that he, Jesus, is the one who has authority to give eternal life. So when we're praying for the lost, when we're praying for the harvest, when we're praying for the people that aren't saved yet, when we're praying in the name of Jesus, he's wanting us to pray with faith, being fully persuaded that our Lord Jesus, he is the one that has the authority to grant eternal life to all the people of our communities and our nation. We start to capture the heart of God here. We start to capture the heart of Christ. We start to capture what Christ has done, who he is, because it's Jesus that has the authority to grant eternal life. He wants us to be established so that our prayers are full of hope, our prayers are full of faith, our prayers are so vibrant because we know that as we're praying, because this is the will of the Father for all to be saved and none to be perished, we know now it's not just we're just praying and hoping God's going to do something. We know that the authority has been given to Jesus by the Father to grant eternal life, and it's Jesus that empowers us, Jesus that gives the authority for people to become children of God. It is so incredibly awesome for you and I to be able to understand and to receive this and be fully persuaded what it means to pray in the name of Jesus for the unsaved folk. This is Jesus' ministry by the Holy Spirit doing this incredible work over there. So we're not alone in the witnessing and leading and ministering to the unsaved. When we are going, whatever we do, whatever we say, we do it in the name of Jesus. We're living in the authority that Christ has given to us to live as children of God. So we're doing it in his name. And this Mother Spirit enable us, for all of us, to start to really become one within us, so that we live in this truth. It's established within us. We're focused in this area over there, and we know that we're in a kingdom of God. And as we are praying for the unsaved, we know that Jesus is ministering, and by his angels, by the Holy Spirit, by our laborers, his body, his family, all over the world. Is involved, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, sharing the gospel. There's evangelists all over, there's teachers all over, there's so many of his family all over there that's responding to your prayer, my prayer, to the prayers of the believers all around the world. Okay, so it's just helping us to understand the authority in Christ Jesus, helping us to begin to understand what it means to pray in the name of Jesus, what it means to be in the light, what it means to be involved with the kingdom of light, being a light to all, and so that we can get people out of darkness and into the kingdom. because that's Jesus came and he started to preach the kingdom of God in that reality. And so that's what our Father's wanting us to be established in all of us over there. Now, I want to just share more scriptures this morning just to reinforce this. Otherwise, we can lose it quite quickly. In Ephesians chapter 2, we see over there in Ephesians chapter 2 that as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now, here we see the picture of what our lives were when we were still living in the darkness. Remember, darkness is an absence of light. Christ is light. God is light. In God, there is no darkness at all. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 onwards over there. There's no darkness in God at all. God is light. Anyone who claims to have fellowship with God yet walks in the darkness is a liar. Okay, that's what John is busy writing over there. And so here we see now, this is the reality of being in the dark. We were just living for our own human desires and pleasures, etc. We were following the demonic spirit of the, obedient to the demonic influences that controls the world. Remember in 1 John chapter 5 that Satan controls the whole world, okay? And so that's the reality of the darkness. That's the reality of where you and I used to live. That's the reality where the unsaved are still living. That's why it is Jesus who has the authority to be able to take them out of the darkness and bring them into the kingdom. And so we read that in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. You know, we've read that many times, but Paul writes over there and he's thanking God and he's praying that by the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may be able to really live a life worthy of our calling, because we are in the light and we live as children of light, so that we know what pleases God. We can bring honor and glory to him all the time. And he praises God because God has taken us out of the dominion of darkness. And he has brought us into the light, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so that's you and I. And that's why it is so important for us to begin to be established that we are no longer living in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through onwards over there. There in captivity of the enemy, there in the dark, separated from the life of God. God has put his spirit in us. His life is in us. That's who we are. And so in our minds, we've got to now begin to be settled once and for all. We are a kingdom of light. We are in a kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's our starting point. Christ has given us authority to become children of God, born of God. Because we're born of God, his seed remains in us. And because his seed remains in us, we do not continue to walk in the darkness, because his seed remains in us. And so now we begin to realize, okay, now, because we're in the light, that as I shared last Sunday, it really enables us to be able to make decisions now. Because we are making, Christ lived this life. Christ was, he said so many times, I'm not of this world. I'm I'm from another place. I've come from my Father. You and I are not of this world. We have been born again. We're seated with Christ Jesus. Okay? And so we are children of God. So now in our dealings with life, we've got to begin to realize, and you may say, but the world reality is the world reality. Jesus modeled how to live in this world, but not being of this world. And so as we spend time with our Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit shows us how he lived in this world, but not of this world. Okay? You and I live in this world, but we're not of this world. We're in the kingdom of God. And it's a huge mind shift, because it begins to open up purpose. It opens up why we're existing. It opens up the reality, as we've been spending a month ago in Romans chapter 8 there, that now, because we have embraced the reality of Christ's death and resurrection and that union with him there, we've been raised with Christ. We now, by the Holy Spirit, our mind is set on things that the Holy Spirit desires. We have a focus. We are not ground bound anymore. We're not so caught up in the affairs of the world. We are caught up in the affairs of the kingdom. And we are here to advance the kingdom of God. We're here with the authority of Christ to set people free from still in the darkness. And as we begin to become established in that, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. This is what this is all about. We're in the light. We're in the kingdom. We live in that reality. He has given us the authority to operate in this reality. And we're seeking now his ways of doing things. And his righteousness, which is the gift of righteousness, and we're living in that gift of righteousness by faith. That's the righteousness that we have. Now what happens, there's a promise of God. All these other things shall be added unto us as well over there. And so our focus is not there. We're not worried about those things. As Jesus says, the pagans, they're consumed by all those things. That's their reality. You and I, we've been taken out of darkness. We're in the kingdom. There's a system. There's an operation of the kingdom reality that applies to you and I, as we by faith begin to live in this realm of being in the kingdom of God. And so important, understanding more and more now that Christ has authorized us to live as children of God. He has given us the authority to live as children of God. He has given us the authority to act and to behave as children of God. He has given us the authority to begin to be involved as children of God with the affairs of the Father here on earth, to be able to bring about what God desires for you and I. We have been given the authority by our Lord Jesus Christ to live as a child of God. May the Holy Spirit impart that so that it's established. You will find there it changes everything about the way we live our lives. And I went back into that in Ephesians chapter 5, and we saw over there in Ephesians chapter 5, again, we are no longer children of darkness. We are now children of light. Therefore, live as children of light. And he carries on and says, but the fruit of light is goodness, righteousness. And we see that reality of the goodness of light being displayed within us and through our lives. Now, in 1 John chapter 5, or let me just go to 1 John chapter 4 quickly. Let me just get there. 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, here Paul is speaking about those who recognize the truth of God. But he shares something very profound over here. Let me just get there. He says here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4-6, you dear children are from God. And maybe I don't know how many times you and I need to hear that. You, dear children, are from God. Jesus has given you and I the authority to become children of God, not by man's decision or husband's will, etc., but born of God. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. This is now you and I beginning to realize the authority that Jesus has given to us to become children of God and to live in the reality of being a child of God. That authority is huge. We have overcome them. And it's dealing with the Antichrist. It's dealing with the demonic realm and so forth. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. Now verse 6, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us, and this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Again, just the emphasis over here to make us aware that we are from God. We are no longer from this world realm. We no longer belong to this world. And one last scripture over here is again in the prayers of Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing scripture that Jesus prays concerning us as children of God. In John 17, he's not only praying for his disciples, but also for us. But look at how he says in John 17, verse 14 onwards over here. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. Don't be surprised, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Where do we belong? How are we thinking? What's preoccupying our mind? May the Spirit on his way today free us from being ground bound and enable us to begin to realize we're not of this world. We are now, as Christ is not of this world, Jesus says, don't fear, I've overcome this world. Christ has overcome and he's given us the authority to live in that victory of his. We have overcome this world in Christ Jesus. Spend time. spend time in the scripture and ask the Holy Spirit to open it up more and more and more and more. And in his way, freeing us from being so caught up in being consumed about the stuff of this world and the opinions of people and what people are saying. You and I, we're not of this world. We are free of all that rubbish. Okay? And we are in the kingdom of God. Christ has overcome this world. We're in a victorious kingdom. He's given us the authority to live as his children, as the Father's children. Okay? That's who we are. That's our identity. Let this be established. And he carries on over there. My prayer is not that you take them out of this world, but you protect them from the evil one. Let's receive that prayer of Jesus. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Christ has authorized us to live and to be children of God. Exactly the same. As the Father authorized his Son, so Christ has authorized us. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them by the truth. In other words, set them apart by the truth that is being released, because Jesus is the truth. We are in him. Now enable them by the Holy Spirit to be able to recognize that we are in Christ. We are no longer of this world. We are now in the kingdom of God. That's our world. that's our realm of existence. And then he carries on over there. As you sent me into the world, I have sent him to the world. For them I have sanctified myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And remember this now, Jesus is about to be crucified. And so this verse 19, Jesus says, now I've set myself apart. Remember what Jesus says, Father, offerings and sacrifices you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Yara, I've come to do your will. And now Jesus at the place, and just before his arrest, he said, Father, here I am. I've set myself apart to go to the cross so that all those now will also be able to participate in what I've done and to be able to come out of the dominion of darkness and to be in the kingdom of light as your children, born again by the Holy Spirit, born of you, no longer children of darkness, separated from the life of the Holy Spirit, but now the Holy Spirit's going to come, and now they're going to be children of light, participating in light, living as light, and to be now with the authority to be able to go and minister and help people come out of the dominion of darkness and come into the kingdom of light. So guys, that is what's on my heart to share this morning. Sorry about all the other stuff, but just emphasizing once again, as Jesus says over here, I've given them your word and the world has hated them. Expect that, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. And that's such an emphasis of the Holy Spirit this morning for us to realize that and to be established in that. It changes the way we look at government. It changes the way we look at potholes. It changes the way we look at all things of life. It changes the way how we look at people. It changes everything when we are established in the fact that we are not of this world. We live in the kingdom as Christ is not of this world. That's our real home. That's our spiritual reality. Our spirit is there. It's seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Yes, our body is still on this earth and so forth, but we've got to understand we're living from our spirit, flowing into our soul and then through our body as we are hands and feet of Jesus Christ in implementing what the Father's will is, and what he wants to do. And that, so that's the reality. So I want to pray, and then let's just have the communion together. And maybe today is just that realization that Jesus, through his death and resurrection, through his body, through his sacrifice, he has authorized you and I, he's empowered you and I, he's given us the right to act, the right to be, the right to do, the right everything to as a child of God. And that's what he's done for you and I. Because he hath authorized it, that's secure. That realm of security is profound. And there's so much more there. But in the communion, may the Holy Spirit just open it a little bit more for you and I. Father, thank you this morning as we just again have a time and we just begin to receive the truth that your Son Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, was the one that authorized us to become children of God. The gospel, the good news of yours, that no one comes to you except through Jesus. And Jesus, because you have authorized it, your word is your word. Your authority is your authority. There's nothing that comes against your authority except man's decision to reject it. But we want to thank you that in your grace, we were born again by your Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, as you are our big brother, we are family. We thank you by your Holy Spirit as you begin to teach us how to walk in the authority of being children of God that you have given to us. That freedom, all that, what that entails, may your Holy Spirit open it up now as we begin to just renew our minds and become established in the fact that we're no longer in the dominion of darkness, but we're in the kingdom. We are children of light. We are light in you, Jesus. We're no longer of this world. what we are now in your kingdom. We want to thank you as you now teach us, lead us. This is your realm. You know you've lived like this for here on earth. Teach us now. And this we ask as we celebrate your death and your resurrection, the life and the hope and everything that you have done in that reality of going to the cross, so that we may experience eternal, the quality of God's life that we have entered into. Thank you. We give you the praise and the glory. Just enjoy the communion together now.